Okay. Hey, welcome to another episode of Nerdacious Behavior. Today I'm going to be interviewing Lena Jokes. Yvette is out with some doctor's appointments, so it's just me and Lena today. But Lena is a desire coach and inner systems ecologist, so we're going to be learning a lot about that and some tantric stuff today, right? If we have time for it, right?
Yeah, we are.
All right, what's up, buddy?
So, when you say that I'm a desire coach and an inner systems ecologist, I'd like to kind of clarify that a little bit.
Sure. Because I don't even know what it
Right, because and when I met Santana, to be fair, I was like, I'm a sex coach, which is a wild statement and a bold one, but
But it was very fun. And then I was like, I need to learn more. And I was like, and I think we're gonna become friends after this because you seem like a lot of fun being a such sex coach. So yeah. All right, so keep going.
So I talk about sex in terms of desire, and not in just in what you want, but what your partner wants, but that also goes into other areas of your life, and it's how you want to succeed and what you want your life to look like. And you can train yourself to use that primal sexual energy, that turn on for life. So that's why I call myself a desire coach. Also, because the internet definitely censors you when you say that you're a sex coach. Everybody and their grandmother is like, what? And they have images of you, in dark rooms, like working with couples or not couples or threesomes or whatever, and sex orgies. And that's definitely not what I do. I don't work with couples. I don't work with men. I work with women to articulate, clarify, and then get their desires.
Right, and then you did mention that if you did put like a sex coach and stuff, like you're instantly blocked
My
from,
Instagram is shadow banned
yeah.
constantly. Every time I post anything with pleasure, my posts get flagged all the time.
Really?
And I see this because I'm part of a cohort of women coaches who worked, who graduated this sex, love, and relationships coaching program. And it was 800 hours, and we did a lot of inner work and outer work. And so it's a really robust program, and the people who I see their posts, the only ones that even come up for me anymore are the people who use like S asterisk X or S3X. I can't, and that's like too workaroundy for me. It's
Yeah.
also kind of bullshit because before you even have sex with somebody, you really need to know yourself. So I'm
Sure.
not. And that leads me to a tangent of like, I'm not slut shaming casual sex. I'm for it. But again, like, you need to know what your desire is, and you need to know your boundaries accordingly. So when I talk about being an inner systems ecologist, I like to view our souls as like a garden, right?
Okay.
And you can't help, you don't start out with like a barren land. You come out, out of the womb with like family and like past trauma and ancestral DNA trauma, which is super interesting also, and all of this like stuff. So your garden has flowers, weeds, fruit trees, like whatever, and you didn't plant them there, but you have to deal with them. So you can
Sweet.
pull the weeds, you can learn how, and you can learn also how to plant and fertilize what you want. So in that way, it's like an ecosystem,
Yeah.
and you have to have it in balance, and you can ask it to produce what you want, what you desire.
Cultivating the soul
Exactly.
is what that sounds like.
Exactly. And so inner systems kind of gives you an inner systems psychologist is somebody who deals with family and like inner child stuff. And what that means is like when you're an adult and something happens and you haven't resolved your inner wound, you might get really frustrated when somebody doesn't do what you want, or you might not know how to express what you want, or when your husband doesn't call you to tell you that he's coming home late, and so he's late for dinner, and then you're really frustrated and you don't know why. So he comes home and maybe he had a talk with a coworker, maybe he stopped to get gas, like you don't know. The reasons could be whatever, it could be nothing, but you immediately go into this panic and this rage and this whatever. And it could be because when you were little, you were constantly left alone, and nobody would explain why, and nobody took care of your needs or acknowledged them. So now, as an adult, you get the job, whether or not you like it, of cultivating your own garden. And it's hard work. It is deep work. And I get a little bit bitter sometimes when I do my own work, where I'm like, oh God, why couldn't somebody have just done this for me? Why
Sure.
couldn't this have been easier? Why couldn't my mom have been nicer to me? You know, all of this, like, why did I get a mean mom, or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's definitely work that I have to do regardless, because again, I wasn't given my plot of land, but I'm lucky to have one. And I'm lucky to have the privileges associated with cultivating it myself.
Sweet. So how did you get into this coaching work? Like
So,
what, yeah, like what made you be like, I want to help other women to like tap into their desires and wants and needs, you know, of doing it?
what really drew me into the coaching program, because I was looking for different kind of avenues to pursue, I call it therapy light, where I wouldn't have to go to grad school for 8 years. And then, like, you know, like it's like
You're like,
fucking.
how can I get in here without really getting
Right?
it?
And like part of me does want, you know, the little sticker on the wall that says like PhD and whatever. Like I'll be your doctor. But then the other half of me is like, that's 8 years from now, and that's also like thousands and thousands of dollars. And
That's
it's such
fucking
a little
funny.
exclusive world.
That's how I
Like
feel with like the whole medical billing and coding thing, where I want to go to school, but not for that long. And I was like, I want it to be in the healthcare because I am pretty interested in a lot of that stuff. But I was like, but I also don't want to be a nurse and like start going to school and be like fucking 40,
Right.
and then I'm gonna
And
be
then you're
like,
paying off all this debt.
yeah. So I
Yeah.
was like, what could I get?
Okay, but granted, like being a nurse is pretty
Yeah,
sweet, but
not
and
really.
I mean you work like 3 days a week, even though it's like 12 or 18 hours a day, and then you
Yeah.
can work on a cruise ship.
Yeah, but I guess it all depends on the person of like them being the nurse, but like I guess because I've been like with so many ER visits with Yvette, and then like we talk to nurses,
It's a
and
thankless job.
yeah, and yeah,
Yeah.
a thankless? Oh,
Thankless.
thankless.
Yeah.
I was gonna say thankless too. That
Is
was
it?
a
Because
little bit because, well, actually the nurses seem to know more than a lot of the doctors, you know? And it's just going with her and like experiencing that where they're just kind of like, meh. Well, maybe. Well, we don't care. Just push you off to the side. It's very much like of a push off, and I think like there are nurses. Don't get me wrong. Like there are nurses and like
That care
physicians
and
that
that,
care
yeah.
and that want to help. But I think with the way how the system is now, it's not as, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's very hard
If you're
to be
not dying
that.
in front of them.
Yeah, it's hard to be that like caring, empathetic person that you want to like give all your everything that you have to help them because it's like just push them along,
Sure.
and
And
so
there's
it's one of
actually
those
a term
things.
for that too, and I think it's called like service fatigue or care fatigue or something, where you burn out on helping people
Really?
because you see so many people in pain, scared, in trauma all the time that it burns your own ecosystem out. You stop being able to empathize because it would hurt too much. So.
Yeah, so totally get that. But yeah, so for you.
Well, the reason I got into the sex, love, and relationship coaching is because when I was younger, my first sexual experience was rape.
Oh,
And
wow.
my brain associated that rape, that horrifying incident, with orgasm. So I have been working on this, but it's really hard for me to have an orgasm without feeling unsafe.
Okay.
And that's deeply hard for my body. You know, how come I can love my partner, feel safe with like truly deeply feel safe with my partner, or also just want, you know, nature's ambient and I want to go the fuck to bed sometimes, so like whatever. And it doesn't work. Like I just end up more frustrated or just more riled up. So getting into tantra and getting into sex coaching and dealing with like my inner wounding around men and my distrust of men and my own lack of trust in my own body, because the signal that my body was sending before it even got to my brain was, you are not going to experience this release. You're not going to experience high level pleasure because you're safe. So safety doesn't equal pleasure. And like a lot of the sex coaching work really drew me in because I was like, wow, you know, maybe they can give me a framework to work in or to understand. I cannot be the only person mm-hmm. this has happened to. And it's really interesting telling people before I graduated from the program that I was doing this really led to a lot of eye-opening conversations with friends and even with strangers, like just handing my card out or just like mm-hmm. telling people like, hey, I need, you know, 25 volunteer hours. Like, you want to talk about sex with me for an hour?
Sweet. You know,
you're right. Like, it's so much fun. And I was doing that anyway. Like, my house has always been, historically speaking, a place where people can come, have a glass of wine and cry. And my husband, bless his heart, will come home and there will be somebody he doesn't know very well and their face will be puffy and he's like, he'll just go into the other room and play video games.
Like, well, that's like, nice. He's not like, what's wrong with this crazy bitch, you know?
He's so, oh my gosh, he's like the best person on earth. The sun shines out of his butthole. But aww. When he doesn't sleep, he's Satan. So he's got that going for him. I've already had that ability to speak with candor. I've had that ability to be articulate about what my own struggles and my own mm-hmm. Journey and my as well as my own desires. Like, I just wanted to have an orgasm with somebody I actually liked, for fuck's sake. And it would be like, it led me to a lot of different avenues. Got me into BDSM for a little bit, got me into trying out a somatic sex worker, which if anybody is listening and wants to know more about that, hit up Lupa Wellness, I think her name is Sachita, and she's in San Francisco, and she's a somatic therapist, meaning she's a touch therapist for women, and she will, I don't want to say give you a hand job, but she will definitely...
more or less.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely more.
More but or less, the kitty's going to get is gonna get some arousal, but therapeutically.
Exactly. In the name of medicine and hashtag self-care. So that makes it okay.
Sweet.
And she was really fundamental because when she worked with me, the words out of her mouth were, there is nothing wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, so many layers just fell away and I could breathe. I felt like I could breathe mm-hmm. because that meant that, and I had kind of harbored this belief that there was something wrong with me, that, you know, every month when my like discharge would change, I'd be like, oh God, I'm dying. I have, you know, chlamydia or what, even right. though I haven't like been touched by anybody in like a year.
My pH is out of whack. Exactly. Like, something's wrong with me.
Totally. Yeah. And even through, so just working with her, like hearing that, like, no, your cervix is fine. Mm-hmm. Your vagina is fine. Like, I've seen many and this is fine. Like, having somebody actually say that was very relieving and relaxing. It was like a deep breath of fresh air. And it was like my entire nervous system calmed down because that put the power back in my own shoes. And like, yeah, I say I'm a desire coach and an inner systems ecologist, but really, like, I work with women in power mm-hmm. because it's very, we give away our power all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time mm-hmm. in sex, when we don't ask for what we want, when we don't know what we want, when we don't take care of our bodies, when we put other people first, when we, you have to pull down your own safety mask before you pull down anybody else's.
Yeah.
And like, we're not taught that. We're not taught those skills. We indulge toxic family members
mm-hmm.
because we want to be the good guy, or we want to have that be a small, you know, part of me was always telling myself like, well, you know, I'm the good person here. Like, I'm showing them how to be kind. No, 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 no. They've had, you know, more than my life experience learning. Like, they have the Disney Channel. They can figure it out. Like, they can sing to animals if they want to. So it's mostly about power.
Cool.
And it's good work. It's really good work.
Sweet. And how long have you been doing it? Or...
this is almost a year. I renewed the domain on my website a few weeks ago, so that was exciting.
And then how long have you been, I guess, you know, like when you said you wanted to get an orgasm mm-hmm. and all that stuff, when was that?
When I was 15.
Okay.
So that's...
so you've been doing the work for a while.
Without knowing that I was.
Yeah.
So in college... after that happened, I didn't have sex for years. I didn't trust anybody. I didn't, I thought, honestly, that I'd made it up. And that, but it was something so scarring that my brain actually doesn't remember it. So yeah. I have, like, a nice little Band-Aid over most of it. And that's okay. I used to really beat myself up. Like, how can I really know? And how can I really trust myself if I can't remember? But I do trust myself. Like, and that's the kind of the epitome of my work. And the pin in that holds, the safety pin that holds all my work together is I trust myself. Mm-hmm. And hopefully women that work with me get to that point too.
Cool. Let's see. What is, like, I mean, yeah, if you can say it, like, what is the most common thing that you see out of women when they're looking for this? Like, is it a multitude of different things, or is there kind of like a common, like, common, I just,
denominator?
Yeah. Like, I just don't know what I want, or I don't know what I was shown, or like, I just don't like voicing these things.
A lot of women get drawn into, like, you know, like you did, like, what is a sex coach? Because everybody wants to know what's normal.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to, right? Nothing and everything. I know. The answer.
Exactly. And it's like, yo, that person could be like fucking a corpse, and right. Like they'll be like, yeah, it's totally normal, and we'll be like,
no friend,
not man, yeah. It's not, man,
I must tell you.
And it is weird, because even though I'm not even close on your spectrum, it's like I talk to a lot of people on like a daily basis about all these things, and like they come in and they're just like, I can't even.
They're
and
so I'm like, scared of their own desires.
Yeah. And so I guess that's why it prompted me. Cause I was like, what is this? Because like, for me, I'm like, sex, right. And like, it's fun, and like, enjoy it. And like, you should know these things. And like, they come in and they're just like, I just want to get out. And like, they start closing up, and I'm like, yo, you've already took the first step in here.
Yeah.
Like, let's explore a little bit. And they're just like, Nope. Like, just, like, or if they're with, like, their significant other. A lot of them, when they're with, like, their, no, I shouldn't say that. Couple of, like, you know, it's a mix. It's always a mix. But, yeah, they come in and they're, like, just like, yeah, that's fine. Just give me that one. I don't even care. But it's like, then why are you in here?
Yeah, you know? You're not going to find something that appeals to you, something that turns you on to look at or to feel.
Right.
Like, then you probably have just wasted however much money. If you're just going to hide it in the back of your closet, like, for a rainy day when you're already feeling, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I've done that before. Like, I've bought lingerie, and I've, like, hated it. And I bought it because I wanted to feel sexy. But the lingerie doesn't make me feel sexy. I make me feel sexy.
So do you think that's, like, one big aspect is just feeling comfortable in your own?
In your own.
Yeah, in your own.
Whatever that means for anybody listening, like, in your own body, in your own mind, in your own soul, you belong to yourself. You heal yourself. Mm-hmm. You turn yourself on. You do not get to blame your partner for things.
Definitely.
You do not get to blame. You have radical responsibility over yourself and what turns you on. And you're not broken. You can grow these things. Like, you can live life at it. Look, that comes back to the prior question of, like, what brings women to me?
Yeah.
Like, I just live my life at a high level of turn on. Like, I go outside and I enjoy the feeling of sun on my skin. I enjoy the condensation on the cup or on my kombucha. I enjoy things very deeply and at a visceral level. Mm-hmm. And people want to get that same vibrancy. They want to get that same high energy kind of. It is sexual energy, but it's creative energy more than that.
Okay.
And it comes out during sex, and it comes out for sex. And we, unfortunately, in our society, there is, I don't want to say a lot of porn, but there is a lot of porn that isn't informative, not like really informative. There's a huge statistic out there. I forget exactly the number, and I'll look this up and get back to you, but it is gay and non-heterosexual, non-binary people have better sex.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was telling you about this.
We were talking about this.
They have better sex because they're not watching porn, and there's not porn for them. Not really. Like, the lesbian porn that is on, you know, Pornhub or whatever is for, it's for an observer.
Me.
Right. Well, but
I'm
it,
like, that's me.
It's typically for the male gaze.
Mm-hmm.
And because we live in a patriarchal society, which is also an important kind of facet to the work that anybody does in the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is kind of touched by that and enforced by that, because that's the world we live in. Because, you know, so many women and so many people, as you say, are so kind of disgusted by their own pleasure and, like, turned off by their own desire. Like, how can you be turned off by your own desire? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, and you think it's just because it's not being voiced, mm-hmm. you know?
It's hidden.
Yeah.
And we shame people for having sex. We shame people for not having sex. We shame people for buying a sex store. Like, you can't win. There's no win.
So you're like, I'll just close up into my hole and just won't share this with anybody because it's wrong, and then it's not mm-hmm. wrong. And you're just like, where do I go from this? And that was another thing that we were talking about before this that was interesting, was just people having, like, these internal feelings of, like, how do I do this? Like, whatever it is, you mm-hmm. know? And we're not talking just sex or anything. It's just anything in general. They're just like, how do I express this? How can I work on this? And it's just like, that's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. Is because when people don't know what to do, at least having an outlet of someone who knows what to do and to tell them, hey, like, it's totally cool. It's totally normal. Like,
yeah, and you can ask more for what you opening. Need.
Yeah, and
if
more
you
of
don't
an opening.
Ask, you won't get it. But and that's also difficult too. Like, in my own life, I found it really difficult to receive love, mm-hmm. like to really, 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 truly, at my core, believe that I am worthy mm-hmm. of love. So when my husband does something nice for me, and he's gonna laugh because he always does, and he doesn't take it to heart a lot of the time. But when he does something nice for me, my response is always, why'd you do that? What's wrong with you?
Yeah. What'd you do now?
Yeah, exactly. What did I do?
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Why do you think that? Like, because...
Well, for like, me, so that's the inner ecology that I have to do okay. with myself. We all carry... We all have these, like, big invisible wounds, right? A therapist would call this the walking wounded. I have a big T trauma in that I was raped. Mm-hmm. But there's also little T trauma in that as a child, I wasn't seen, I wasn't celebrated, I wasn't given framework when I did kind of, as any child is wont to do, when I did break the rules, there wasn't a safe container for me. Mm-hmm. And children need guidelines, children need, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to people about this too, but children need specific things, and I didn't receive any of them. So the sure. message that I internalized, excuse me, as a result, was that I wasn't worthy of love.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Gotcha.
And the part of that came from, you know, when my parents, whenever I disappointed them, mm-hmm. not only would my parents make it really personal mm-hmm. and about me, like, oh, we're mad at you now, you failure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And, but then they would go on and ignore me for a few days or not... or, like, scoff when they saw me, or just make it overt that they didn't, that they wanted the seriousness of what had happened to really, like, you know, for me to get it.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, like, well, because I am a parent, so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I have to parent the little one. But it's crazy because, like, they don't even understand. Like, the parent doesn't even understand and see, like, by my actions, by doing this to my child, like, it's really going to fuck them up in the long run.
Right. What you know? Message am I actually...
Yeah, yeah. Am I actually portraying?
Is and, it, you messed up and that's okay, we can move on from this?
Right.
Or is it, you messed up and you're never going to get anywhere?
Right, yeah. And, like, yeah. to them, they're like, yeah, this is the way how I discipline, but it's just, like, but if you're doing it...
Mindfully.
Yeah, then, I mean, it creates a healthy kid into a healthy person.
And a healthy you know? Child, it creates a healthy environment for yeah. everybody. Like, yeah. this is crazy for me that it's not, you know, your child would be not prone to getting in trouble, like, yeah. serious trouble.
Yeah, no, it's like, I totally get it. And so, like, when I do hear about things now, being a parent, I'm just like, what, why is this parent thinking this? I'm like, why would they do that, you know? Right. And it's like, because I very much am a mindful parent, you know, mm-hmm. and I try to be as mindful as I can, you
or
know.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to fuck up your kid.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck up your kid, yeah. and that's okay.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm trying not to fuck her up
too
that much,
yes.
you know.
Shoot for 5 years of therapy, not 5 decades.
Yeah, exactly, you know, so it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, there's going to be things, and I know mm-hmm. it's not parent, like, not, like, going to be parent of the year, but what I'm saying is, like, if you parent your child consciously, and mindfully, and, you know, they have more of a succession rate of being okay instead of harboring all these emotions and like little mm-hmm. traumas and not feeling worthy or loved
for sure.
or smart enough or pretty enough or
and that they later have to unpack
all of the shit.
This sexual kind of whatever, because it's gonna come out. It's yeah. all gonna come out.
Yeah.
Whether you're crying, you know, in the bedroom with your lover or you're crying by yourself in the bathroom like in high school, it's all gonna come out.
Yeah. And so maybe that's where, I mean, yeah, it all stems from, you know, because since you only work with females, a lot of females, just all the past shit
mm-hmm.
is the buildup of why they can't express their desires, wants, whatever it may be. And I mean, I'm just hypothetically saying, like, that's what it is, you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. I mean, it takes something as simple as, like, the 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm.
The 40-hour work week is a relic left over from World War One, when they had, I think World War One. I'm going to fact check that. But it was, the idea is that one spouse is at home, or no, it predates World War One because the system fell apart around World War One, because reasons. But they're... So the idea is that one spouse works for 40 hours,
mm-hmm.
and then the other spouse does the cooking, the cleaning, the house maintenance, the kid raising,
i.e. the female.
The female. And the reason it fell apart during or after the war is because when a lot of the men went overseas or went and worked in factories,
uh-huh.
the women had to step up and get jobs and also work in factories and, like, build airplanes or, like, darned socks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So they ended up doing, you know, this is why our lives are intense. This is why the 40-hour work week isn't sustainable, you know, hashtag patriarchy.
So. Cool. So now, how do I say this? So now we're, like, in a hookup culture.
Mm-hmm.
Agree or disagree?
I don't know.
I feel like we are more in it than we've ever been before, you know?
I think that people are, I don't want to say hookup culture. I think that it's a careless culture.
Okay.
I think that apps make it really, really, I met my husband through an app, nothing against him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that apps make it really easy to, without thinking, swipe left, swipe right, you know, ghost, which is super harmful and damaging to
mm-hmm.
a person, because you're not treating the person like a whole person. You're treating
right.
them like an object that you liked or didn't like. Like, you take a car for a test drive before you buy it. You take it on two or three, or you go to another dealer, and that's good and true, but people aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're in this, like, I don't know if it's hookup culture. I think because we're not getting our deep need for intimacy and belonging met, I think that there's this quick fix solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm lonely. I don't really want to address that. So I'm going to go
mm-hmm.
and swipe whatever way yes means.
And, yes.
Or I'm, you know, sad. I'm angry at my mother and I don't want to deal with it. So and I did that. I did that in college. That was one of the ways that I really tried to... kind of heal myself.
Uh-huh.
And it was not ultimately. I had a number of, like, really hysterical and funny dates. All of them, like, not all of them sucked. I met wonderful, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still in touch with most of them. I'm still, like, I'm good friends with them and I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a careful person.
Mm-hmm.
So I care. I'm full of care for people.
Gotcha. Just because with that being said, like, the whole hookup culture, like, do you get females who are just like, I endlessly swipe, and, like, I can never figure it out, and, like, what's going on?
It's because they're out of touch with their own pleasure, so they don't know, they're effectively masturbating with somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
You're not really connecting, you're not really, gaining, and that's where Tantra comes in, actually. So that's a good segue for Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
And Tantra is a way of living, and it's a way of being. It could be spiritual, it could not be, it doesn't have to be, but it means the weaving or the loom. And it is a series of historical texts from a matriarchal society where female pleasure was put first.
Ah, see, I did not know this.
And the Kama Sutra is part of it, for
mm-hmm.
sure, but Kama Sutra is incomplete, it's missing, but what's noticeable in it is that there's no missionary position.
No way!
None.
Who made that up? The fucking
men. literally men. No, and it's because
I know, but I had no idea on this. And I'm like, that makes sense. They're on top. Whatever. I don't know.
But it's because it's a really quick. It's too quick. So Tantra is about energy movement and
right.
breathing and kind of being present. And that's, you know, why straight people don't have great sex is because they watch porn and they see all the jackhammering. And they're
yeah,
like,
just like boom, 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 boom,
yeah.
boom.
Knock on the
Get
door.
It in.
It's the pizza man. Oh, we're naked and fucking now. There's your hookup culture.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. Now
and
you've got chlamydia.
You're welcome. Because, yeah, and tantric sex. That can last for hours.
That can.
Right?
And it should. Because an orgasm can last, you can have more than one. You can have one through your nipples. You can have one for minutes. I know a lesbian woman that I was speaking to a while ago was like, wait, I'm not sure I've ever had an orgasm because I've had sex for hours, like 4 hours, and I was just like peeking and peeking and peeking and then plateauing and then peeking and then plateauing. And
I wonder what that is too, because I've heard women do that where they're
that's
like
an orgasm.
No. Where I'm saying where they're like, I get so close and then I can't get like the full like release.
They're getting in their own way.
Is that basically what
they're
it
getting,
is?
They're back in their own head and they're judging themselves for not having or having an orgasm.
Instead of just letting it go and like just letting like.
Instead of just being accepting.
Yeah.
Of whatever is.
Ugh, that's so sad.
It's hard
just
to
like,
do.
I'm like, it's coming.
Right.
Like that's me. I'm like, yes, yes. Like, I'm like, don't stop. Don't stop. I was
right.
like, you better. And I'm like, I'll fucking rip your dick off if you stop. You know?
Exactly.
I'm like, keep it coming, babe. Keep it coming. So, but no, because I hear that a lot too. And like, you know, they'll be like, or I'll do this and I'll do that. And I also think like,
you need to know what you like.
Yeah. And, but I also think, how do I say this? Like when you have to do like a multitude of things of like intensity to get that orgasm, I don't know, you know, like someone was telling me
to get what kind of orgasm?
I don't know. They were just saying like, just to come, you know, like just to get that release. But I mean, it was literally like something in the butt, something in the vagina, like something vibrating on the clitoris. And like, it has to be like a certain way. And it has to be like this crazy intense motion. And I was like, dude, that's
like a lot of work.
I was like, that's kind of a lot. Like, just to get an orgasm,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
I
like,
do it if it was
yeah,
that hard.
I was like, how many people have you been fucking? Like, this is intense. Like, you've just
right.
been climbing up that ladder of intensity.
And with that, I
you
would
know?
Say, like, you know, definitely dial it back on the vibrators. Those really desensitize your body to that fast-track orgasm.
Mm.
And what I just bought and am trying out and enjoying in a very slow and, like, kind of mindful way
mm-hmm.
where I'm like make dates with myself and I plan it on the schedule and I tell my husband to go fuck off and
nice.
I bought a stone dodo the one it's like a little I don't even know how to describe
it's like
it.
A curved it's like kind of curved and at the end it's kind of a bulb
yes
I would say
yeah
it's like a bulb so it kind of
yeah.
looks like a G-spot. It actually kind of looks like more of like a G-spot stimulator in a sense, kind
just
of
like in the shape of it.
Yeah, in
like
the shape of it.
If you were
but
to draw
not.
Like a U with like a puff paint, and then you squeeze too much at one end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that's like my
yeah, like
my,
a sperm.
My teaching.
Like a
yeah,
sperm.
Like a sperm.
Like a sperm.
But like no tooth in on the other end.
Right. It's just yeah. It just kind of has like this little curve, and at the end of the curve. It has like a, it's kind of bulbous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's for, it's just for celebrating my body. It's to be sensual without goal of orgasm. So sex, having safe and sensual sex with myself means I release that goal. And then I get it.
So I like how you said that you do your dates with yourself.
It's
you know?
So important. It is so, so, so important.
Yeah. Like, I was like, you can't just gloss over that. Like,
no. No, you
I was
can't.
Like, because, I think that's, like, another thing that's missing. I definitely don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, I mean,
no,
there's days where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking, like, masturbate.
But it's
but,
so much easier, again, in hookup culture to just call or to just swipe and
yeah,
have somebody else.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather, I'm at the point right now where I'm just like, no, I don't. I was like, I'd rather just do it to myself and just, like, good with my day.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
So,
it's something that makes you happier and something that, like, raises
yeah.
your vibe.
Yeah, so.
Bit. Like, I'm nicer to people when I have sex.
So. Yeah. So how, I mean, again, though, the importance of having a date with yourself.
Means that I really take that time to be present with myself. And
mm-hmm.
I check in with myself. And your body keeps the score, which is a really famous book that everybody should read, actually, is And that's a true statement. Your body holds memory. Your body holds trauma memory. Your body holds mm-hmm. joy memory, pleasure memory, and everything in between. So I use that time, that sensual massage, and that, I like light candles.
I was going to say, like,
baby making music, like 90s.
How long are
R&B.
You having a date with yourself?
Like, I block out an hour and a half.
Swear.
But I can go longer. Like, my husband will knock on the door and be like, do you want dinner? And be like, fucking no. Back up. I'm grown. Like, I would take care of my own damn dinner. But also, if you want to make hot dogs, that'd be great.
Oh, that's like, pretty awesome. And it's pretty awesome that he gives you the space, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, we give each other the space. And so it's important for me that he gets his own needs met.
Awesome.
Also, that way I'm not responsible for his sexuality. He's not responsible for mine. He's uh-huh. not in control of mine. I'm not in control of his. I don't get a say in his.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't get a say in mine. And from this place of being equals, equal partners.
It's fucking amazing.
We
dude.
Get to enjoy sex together.
I love your husband.
He's so great. Oh my god.
So I'm like, that is amazing. So yeah. You know, because most guys don't understand that.
No, and they would be, but again, like, you have to reframe that. Like, what guy doesn't want a woman who's turned on by life?
Mm-hmm.
What guy doesn't want a woman who knows exactly what she's asking for in the bedroom? Which mm-hmm. is, you know, and I'm a sex coach because that was hard for me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I wanted.
That's
I just
so
wanted
crazy.
To have an orgasm. Like, whatever anybody else was into. Like, great, let's try it. I'm into it. Let's go.
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, where I'm at, like, in my sex life. I'm just, like, pretty open to anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. If it can't be
within
like something, yeah, it
yeah.
can't be like something
not
like
dangerous.
Super, yeah, like, yeah, like, let's cut you open and get some blood and then see what happens.
Nope.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to pass on that.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, not like, let's tie you up to a crucifix and like whip you till you're bleeding. I think I have a thing
and
with
we'll
blood.
Leave you there
there's
for
both,
72
yeah.
hours.
Yeah, there's both things included blood. So maybe blood to me is just not like it's a no-go.
Right.
I just realized that. But yeah, that's awesome, dude. And it's really, like, refreshing to hear. You know what I'm saying? And I think it should be heard.
And there's such a spectrum for women talking about self-pleasure.
Yeah.
And, like, I have a girlfriend, and I love her dearly. And she's so funny because she's the first person I ever talked to about these things. She has a really high sex drive. So when she's stuck in the car in traffic, she'll just get herself off.
Yeah.
Just easy and done. And I was like, wow, that's magic. How do you do, like, what podcast are you listening to?
Right?
What radio station? What is it? Was it a commercial? What do you need? What works? Tell me.
That's
and then I know
funny.
Other women who never masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and I think I'm somewhere in between. I don't know. Like I said, there's no normal.
Yeah.
And it definitely, it's life is cyclical. Sometimes I want to. And sometimes I'm like, fuck, I have a date with myself on Tuesday. I'm really fat and bloated. I hate myself. Like,
I gotta reschedule.
But you can't. Like, part
yeah.
of my commitment to myself and part of my being in integrity with myself is that I go and I'm present with those feelings rather than hiding from them.
Yeah.
And I sit there. And it's not that I power through, like, self-pleasuring in
yeah.
that moment, but that I give my body what it needs. So whether it's like just gentle massage or
mm-hmm.
like a few minutes of breath work or half an hour of breath work and just really kind of tuning into each sensation as it comes and not judging my thoughts, but having them and allowing them.
Yeah.
And then I come out and I'm refreshed and I'm more open, and I'm so self-aware that I can ask for things and
mm-hmm.
I can get my needs met, whether the answer is no or not.
So, what is breath work?
Breath work is a,
is it like Wim Hof?
Yes.
I just did that for the first time the other night. It was the weirdest fucking thing I've ever done.
But like being high without drugs.
Yeah, so
it activates the same brain.
I kind of was on drugs.
Well,
so
and it's, yeah, okay, so double. But,
yeah,
so you can get the same thing sober.
Yeah, and so the thing was, me and a friend, you know, I smoke, whatever. And then he was like, hey, you want to, like, have a drink or two? Like, a drink, and then it turned into, like, of course, two drinks.
Right.
And then, so we're hanging out, and I was totally fine, dude, totally fine. And then he was like, hey, have you ever tried Wim Hof breathing? And I was like, Nope.
That's probably not the atmosphere that you like, want.
I didn't, yeah, like, I didn't know. I had no idea. And he was like, it's this crazy intense breathing mm-hmm. that you do. And he's like, you get, like, this intense high, this euphoric feeling. Yeah. He's like, if you do it right, and me being pretty in tune with myself now and, like, learning how to, like, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
You're
like,
self-regulating.
Just, yeah. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I was like, this would be interesting. It took me for a fucking ride. Yeah. Like intense.
And I want to say, if you're doing it right, so my caution is with Wim Hof and with other things, A, you want to be with a practitioner who knows what they're doing, and B, euphoric might be the wrong word, because it's just, it's intense, right?
It is. It's very intense.
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's 11. And you're really processing all of the things in your body that are hateful, that are rageful. Like, you're making direct contact with everything at an 11.
Yeah, and it was. I was like, I've never, I mean, like, again, like, I know, like, I can get inside my body, but right. I was like, this is
but most
very...
people can't. Most people are very shut off, so this is like a teaser for them. This this is what I train people how to do, and what I'll be doing in my online course in November is I'll be doing a little bit of breath work, but I'll be focusing on how to get people into their bodies a little bit more, out of their heads, during sex, during life. Mm-hmm. I don't know Wim Hof super well, but I know the breath work that I do is you're laying down with your feet up, knees bent, but like up, and that way it frees your pelvis to move, it frees your legs to move. And moving and sounding are both very important, because as you're breathing, you're going to be focusing on all of that sensation running through your body, and you're going to let go of all the story around it. So what I mean is, you're not going to say, I'm sad because I was abused as a child. No, you're just sad.
Right.
And how does that feel in your body? Does that feel like a contraction in your spine? Does it feel like a coldness in your heart? Does it feel like a knot in your stomach that you can't let go? Ascend your breath there, and then use sounding, use movement, use the tools of, use your breath to release it.
Yeah.
So it's undoing work, and it's a way of doing a real body-mind approach to doing therapy. And it's certainly helped me a lot in that it's made a lot of my own trauma accessible to me, and it's given me a specific tool that I can use when I'm in... having not a time of crisis, but when I'm low, or when I'm feeling depleted, or just whenever life happens.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, breath work. And how important is journaling, in your opinion?
I find it very, well, if you're doing it to be like, I don't know what to write. This is my day 4. And today I went to the zoo. Unhelpful. Bitch, pick up a pen, write about how you're feeling. Do a body-mind scan. Do 3 or 5 deep breaths and send them all the way down. Check in, have a moment of stillness, and then write about, even, you don't even have to use proper grammar, just every sensation that goes through your body. And it's really hard to do, because it's hard to notice and write. So if you do it, like, I don't know, on a recording device, it's a little easier. Like, oh, I feel a moment of stillness. I feel expansion. I feel contraction. I feel warmth. I feel cold. I feel like I want to move my arm. I feel like there's a pain in my neck that only comes up when I think about being sick forever.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, you think, like, people should incorporate it?
I think people
it.
Should. I have journals from when I was younger where I can look back and I can tell, even though I didn't write daily, like, this is how I felt at the time. So it gives me an idea of how far I've come.
Yeah.
And it also gives me this wonderful way of checking in with myself. Like, am I still doing the same shit I was doing 4 years ago?
Dude, totally. Like, I'll look back. I mean, because I haven't been doing it lately, just because I'm always all over the place right now. But it's like, I'll look back to when I first started. And mine's only been, like, a good, like, 2 years or something like that. I've never, like, journaled or anything before. I was always just like, whatever. But that's because I was never, like, in tune with myself, or like fixing any of my own internal issues and problems. I was always just like, whatever, whatever, and just shoving everything like deep down inside. And
which
I didn't have to.
Work.
Obviously not. Yeah, yeah, no. Right. You wake up one day and you're like, what the fuck? You
this
know?
Is my life.
Yeah. 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 And you're like, and I fucking hate it, you right, know? Right. And until you start doing all of that, like, internal work, it's just more of a hindrance, I feel like, you know? That's right, how I personally right. feel like. But
well,
I'll look
so
back.
One helpful journaling prompt that I can give you for free that I use and that I recommend other people use, and I actually got this from Danielle Laporte. She's a wonderful guru. I use her Desire Map Planner. Because it focuses on how you want to feel versus what you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And from how you want to feel, then you can, what can I achieve to get there?
Mm.
What can I do to get
yeah,
there? And that makes
for
a
sure.
lot more sense to me.
Totally.
So what she does and what I do is I make a what I trust list. It can be like before a big event or before something I'm nervous about or just when I'm feeling kind of low and I'm not sure why, my hormones are out of whack and I'm about to start my period and everything makes me cry and I don't know why, I make a what I trust list, and it can be, I can trust the sun. I can trust my breath.
Mm-hmm.
I can trust my friends to tell me when I'm doing something very wrong or out of character. I can trust my dog to love me when he comes home. I can trust my husband to be a man of his word. I can trust the air, I can trust whatever, the outside, the pleasure
yeah.
that I take in
yeah.
things. So it's just a what I trust list, and it really anchors you,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you that no matter, it detaches you from outcome. So even if that thing that you're really nervous about, you flub it completely, you're not gonna die.
Yeah.
Your brain understands death and humiliation and ostracization, where you don't belong anywhere, in the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
So for your brain, when you don't belong and when you're scared, that's the same as dying.
Hmm.
So a good way to like work around that is a what do I trust list.
Yeah. So, okay, I hate to do this because
I gotta go
because
yes.
I have to be at work in 10 minutes.
So we're going to end this with three celebrations as I end every coaching session. Santana, what are your three celebrations today?
I don't even know what you mean by that. So.
What do you celebrate about your life or about your day or about?
Oh, kind of like more, I would say
like a
gratitude.
Or a gratitude.
Type of thing. Okay, because I do daily gratitudes every
that's
morning.
That's super important.
Yeah, I have like this whole ritual in the morning that I do. So that's why I was like, celebrations. I was like,
celebrations is like what you've achieved or like
yeah.
things that are just going really right for you.
Okay, so first and foremost and always is my little monster. She's always my celebration, my gratitude, everything. So totally her. Next would be meeting you on a weird, you know, like on a weird, you know, like, you know, I meet so many people all the time and I talk to people every day, but I was like, I like her. Like there's mm-hmm. something about her and I don't know, dude. And third would be, I take this for granted quite a bit and I've been really, really grateful for it lately is my health,
mm-hmm.
you know, is
mm-hmm.
just, you know, and when I say health, I don't mean just being, like able-bodied. What I'm saying is, like, mentally, too. Like, mentally and physically from working on shit and just becoming, like, more in tune with the world and, like, spirituality and stuff. So I'm super grateful that, like, my mental health and my physical health is starting to be more clear and work cohesively instead
right.
of them being so out of sync, you know? So yeah, those would be my three celebrations.
Yay. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at Lina Jokes, LinaJokesch. Funny name, but I'm a serious person.
Yeah.
Some of the time.
And
I have a website and I'm doing an online course in November. Catch me there if you can.